I keep my own counsel. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, Church of God Unlimited here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I keep my own counsel. So, how do we keep our own counsel? We were born with infinite wisdom. We were born with absolutely perfect bodies. We were born with an ideal mind. We were born with an absolute awareness of our spiritual reality. Now you say, well, some people weren't born with perfect bodies. Some people had not happy bodies. Their bodies were a little less than perfect. They were born with perfect bodies. And they were born with perfect, but some people weren't born with perfect mind. Their minds were sometimes a little bit acey, you know. Their minds were a little spacey. And they weren't perfect. They were born with a perfect mind. Now, we live many dimensions. Okay? We live many, many dimensions, and they're all in the here and the now. And in each dimension, we prepare ourselves to go into the next dimension for whatever fun we're going to have. And we sometimes establish who our parents are going to be, what our name is going to be, what our lifestyle is going to be, what experiences we're going to have. We see the whole thing. It's like having this experience where you're drowning or something like that. You're going to die. Your whole life story goes zipped through in front of you. Well, that's how quickly that comes through for us. So, and it's in the now. And so we see that. Now, we not only see that, we choose it. We go into the consciousness store and we select the consciousness that we feel we would like to experience on the next dimension, which is the dimension now. But you have to consider, here we are, infinite reality, and we're going into the infinite number of dimensions and choosing our name and our consciousness and so forth before we move into that next dimension. You say, well, man, that is a big chore. No, it's not. It's a big chore for our human mind and our human limitation, but not for our infinite awareness. And so we come into this experience with a perfect mind, a perfect body, and a perfect spiritual awareness, but we have chosen to wear a cloak of a woman. Ha! Who wants to be a woman? Or a man? Ick! Who wants to be a man? Or a cripple? Who wants to be a cripple? My goodness sakes! Or who wants to be a little child? If by the time it's 10 years old, it looks like it's 80. It has that disease, you know. And who wants that? Well, obviously, we do, because we created it. Nothing happens by chance in our world. Nothing happens by chance in our life experience. Now, what are we going to do about it? I keep my own counsel. People look at us and they feel sorry for us. Hey, what vision do you have of me? If you are a perfect person, and you look out and you see a perfect person, then that's fantastic. Now, just play the game here for a second. Here we have a person who is born in a crippled body, and what that person looks out and sees is what that person is. Now, does that person look out and see other cripples? Does he want to associate with other cripples? Then that's what he is. Does that person look out and see other people who want to be limited in any way? Then that's what that person is. Now, these human attitudes that we have of having a race for the handicapped to show that, you know, they can do things, and that's a bully thing to do. But to have a race for the handicapped, where all the handicapped are associating with one another, you will find that the winners of that race, or at least the people who come in the early part of it, are not people who associate with other handicapped people. They are people who associate with themselves and with whole and perfect people. They have the concept in their mind that they're going to return to the original purity and integrity and be their whole and perfect self. And that's why they think they can win. Otherwise, how do you think they could ever win? They couldn't win if they felt that they were imperfect, if they felt they were really handicapped. But they don't think of themselves as handicapped. We, too, think of ourselves as handicapped. Each one of us has the idiotic concept that because we have parents and their genes were such and so, we are responsible to those genes to carry out that message that the genes have given us. We have the DNA that comes through our various chain of cell experiences, and we say that this is what we must live, this is what we must do. And then there are people who come from families that have these unusual genes, certainly not successful genes, and the people who come out of it are extremely successful. How do they do it? Because they keep their own counsel. They do not go back to what history, society, the physical body, anything else has to say. They keep their own counsel. They say, I am whole and perfect. Now, can you imagine a person who has got pneumonia or got a terrible disease of some sort or other, saying to themselves, I'm whole and perfect? What an idiot. They're not looking at things practically. They're not pragmatic about it at all. They're just daydreaming. I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. Well, they're not daydreaming. They're keeping their own counsel. They are putting the cause in motion for what they wish to experience. Now, they had put the cause in motion at some other point in their life, keeping their own counsel in a very unhappy way, and they brought forth that illness in their life. Now is the time to put a new cause in motion. You go to the doctor because you want the doctor to help you put a new cause in motion. And the doctor says, well, I can cut it out or I can give you a pill, but it's up to you to change your thinking. You know, the doctor doesn't always say that, but that's what he means. Now, we don't go to the doctor to get sick, do we? Do we?
No.
Thank God. Where do we go to get sick? Among other people who are sick. We go among people who have colds to catch a cold. We go among people who have cancerous experiences to catch cancer. And you say, but you can't catch that. That's mentally you catch this. Mentally you put the cause in motion. Mentally you bring this into your life. And mentally you keep your own counsel. So, surround yourself. I have many aged friends of Leisure World. And in Leisure World live aged people. And there are a lot of people there who said, I don't know why, but I just keep getting older and older. And then there are a lot of people there who said, I don't know why, but I feel younger every day. And then I look at the lifestyles of the people who are getting older. They associate with people who are in their wheelchairs. They associate people on crutches. They associate people who are taking 3,500 pills every day. You know? And then I look at the people who say they're getting younger. And I find that these people have an outside interest. They go into some business and assist them at no charge. They have a genius in operating a business of such a nature. And so then they go out and help these young help and work with these young people who are developing their businesses. And they give them their counsel, their guidance to develop the business into a great success. Now, that's just great. You know, there's a story in the Fortune magazine this month about the Walton family, the richest family in the world. Papa died, they're still the richest family in the world. And the kids, individually, are the richest kids in the world, even over Mr. Bill Gates and Mr. Buffett, which is interesting. But they all assess their wealth as a family. Okay, now, what does this family do? Does this family want to go out? Now, they've been rich for a long time. Do they want to go out and buy all the latest cars, houses, and paraphernalia and stuff? No. They get only what pleases them, what delights them. They're busy with their work. They feel needed and wanted in their activity as part of their role playing with the corporation and so forth. Now, Mama got after Daddy early in the game and says, Daddy, Sam, we should invest in philanthropy. We should give our money to others. And he says, well, I haven't got time to fool with that. You take care of it. So she has been giving millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to different organizations. two different operations. Now, does she think she's poor? She lives in a modest house. She has a modest car. The Lexus and the Buick are supposed to be the safest cars on the road. And she drives probably a Buick, you know. And she's just a very lovely lady. She's 84 years old and just a really fantastic girl. And the children are in their 50s. And they're good kids. And the one girl is not really interested in running the business. She lets her accountants and other people who run the business, her part of the business, for her. And she raises horses in Kentucky, and she just has a good time. Now, here she should be hoi polloi and flashy, and she should be, you know, a model of everything. But no, she keeps her own counsel. She says, I have no interest in that. I like my horses. I like riding, you know. I naturally spend my money on nice clothing that I like to wear, or on a nice car, or whatever, you know, nice house, my ranch here in Kentucky where I raise these horses. And but she's not interested. And the article said, only now, after these many, many years, are they having corporate jets and other things. The family gets together once a month and discusses what they're doing. But poof, you know, they're having a great time. They're having a fine time. And until 3 years ago, Mama would get up every morning and cook grits for breakfast herself at 6:30 a.m. But she's not doing that anymore. She's doing other things. But you see, she keeps her own counsel. And the children, they keep their own counsel. And they have a perfect right to manipulate their money any way they like. But they're a family, and they keep it together, and they keep their wealth in the family. Now, it didn't say anything about the children of each of these people, but my goodness. Warren Buffett is a very wealthy man, and his wife died a short time ago, and she was 74. And they have children, and they have not chosen to make their children wealthy. They have not chosen to spend their money on their children or to give it to their children. Now, I think that's most interesting. That is a sin in most people's eyes. How could you? You got the money, you give it to them. You know? But they have not chosen to do that because they want their children each to develop their individual talents, to keep their own counsel. And the money is theirs. When Buffett passes on, I'm sure that a bulk of the state would go on to the children. But the thing is, keep your own counsel. And if you keep your own counsel, then you don't need it. You don't need the money. You are independently wealthy. When you keep your own counsel, you are whole and perfect in spirit, mind, and body. When you keep your own counsel, you love yourself. Now, I've mentioned wealthy people, I've mentioned ill people, I've mentioned things here, and this is of no real account. It's just a matter that's how some people choose to live their life. That's how some people choose to balance their account in the world, and that's perfectly okay, but rather silly. It's rather silly when you stop and think that we are able to keep our own counsel. And who do you think is the most wonderful person on earth? I would like you to think that it's yourself. And if you don't think yourself is the most wonderful person on earth, then don't keep your own counsel, because you're going to keep pretty poor counsel. But when you recognize that be ye perfect, even as is your Father which art in heaven, those little words that Jesus said, we're supposed to be perfect like the divine is within us. So how do we be perfect? By claiming it, naming it, experiencing it, and enjoying everything we do in the now. You guys are wonderful, and I love you very much. Have a great day, and don't dwell too much on the Bill Gateses and the Warren Buffetts and the Waltons with all their great wealth and all the great philanthropy that goes on in the world. You don't need somebody else's abundance to bring forth your own, because who would have ever thought the Waltons would have grown into the wealthy family that they were? The wealthiest in the world. Who would have ever thought that Bill Gates would be the wealthiest single man in the world. Who would have ever thought that Warren Buffett would be the second wealthiest, except that he was a genius in stock manipulation, not manipulation, but stock management, you know. And that's great. Now, you have that chance. Who would have thought that Carnegie would have been so wealthy from his coal mines and from his steel mills and stuff? You know, who would have thought these various other people? Because they, in the beginning, they kept their own counsel, and they did their own thing, and they developed all of the talents that they had, and they lived and lived and live yet at that wonderful nowness. So accept this for yourself, because this is your gift today from me of infinite abundance. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.